If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read one verse is where I'm going to be. I'm going to share some other verses, actually, but I'm going to read one verse today, Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. I'm talking about Jesus as shepherd today. The Bible is littered with this title of shepherd and or sheep. Around 80 times in the Bible, the word shepherd or shepherds is mentioned. I counted at least 186 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament that sheep is used. More, one is said, than any other animal in the Bible. Now, I didn't go through and count all of the different animals and determine, but I read somewhere that more than any other animal in the Bible, there is sheep in the Bible. One of the greatest passages known in our culture is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So what does it mean as Matthew recalls for us a quote from Micah in the Old Testament as Jesus being our shepherd? It would have been very understandable in that culture. Do we have any sheep herders here today? Anybody ever been a sheep herder? One, two, anybody else? Three, four, five. Anyone else want to be a sheep herder today? So some of the things that Samuel, you've been a sheep herder? You've been a shepherd? He wants to be. Okay, maybe you'll get to be someday. That'd be a fun little thing to walk around with sheep. We struggle with it because not many of us have been shepherds in the room, or shepherdess, or sheepherder, or however you want to call that individual. What does it mean? We've seen Jesus as Savior. We've seen Jesus as Emmanuel. We've seen Jesus as King. We see Jesus as a shepherd. So why is he called a shepherd? We've been talking through Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and the titles given to Jesus. And there's something about Jesus being Savior. We talked about him being Savior because he will save you from your sins. I like that. I like being saved from my sins. That's powerful for me. I like this concept of Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us. Meaning, wherever we go, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit is with us. I like that. That's powerful. Whenever you're in a place where you're like, where am I supposed to be? It's like, God is with you. I like what we talked about last week of Jesus being King. There's something about being with the King and Jesus being our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back one day as a King. There's something about that. But shepherd? Jesus is shepherd? I mean, for me, maybe for you, maybe not, but sounds kind of weak. I mean, just out watching sheep out on the countryside. Kind of boring. I don't know if you've been if you've ever seen a shepherd, but you just kind of sit and wait for the sheep. Then one little lamb gets out of the way and messes up. Sounds kind of wimpy, but maybe there's more to it about being a shepherd and Jesus being the shepherd. So I encourage you to sit back and to listen from God's word. What encouragement can you receive today about Jesus being our shepherd? Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. It's on the Bible in front of you on page 807, or you can follow on the screen, or maybe you brought your own scripture today. I'm going to point out some other scriptures, so you might want to keep your Bible handy. Here's what it says. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." How was Jesus to shepherd Israel? He was going to be ruler, but we see him serving as a shepherd. This verse comes from Micah. If you have a Helpful Hints Bible, you see it comes from Micah 5, verse 2. If you go back in Micah, which is just a couple of pages before Matthew, you will notice a very similar verse, but there is a word missing in Micah that is added in Matthew. And you know what that word is? Shepherd. He doesn't say it. Micah the prophet doesn't say shepherd. He just says there's going to come a ruler, but Matthew says, I need to insert this word, and this word is shepherd. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, for you were straying like sheep, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Does Israel need a shepherd? Yes. Do you need a shepherd? Yes. Where do you go for instruction, guidance, counsel, understanding? We start off in life this way. We start off as little kids, little babies. We really don't remember those times because we've grown up past that, but each of you started out as a little babe. And starting off as a little babe, somebody took care of you. Somebody fed you. Somebody cleaned you. Somebody changed your diaper, and you had no part in that. Well, you did have a part in that, but you know. You didn't have the part of cleaning up. Your moms, your dads, your grandmas, your grandpas, your aunts or uncles, whoever came and took care of you in that way. Soon you moved to sitting at the table and sitting in a chair, and you were kind of bobbly around, but soon you were able to sit up and you were able to eat table food. Then we work towards our independence. Finally, we get out of our parents' home. At least I hope you're out of your parents' home. And you're on your own. But soon we realize we need a greater source in our lives. Some of us find this out sooner rather than later. But you need some greater source in your life. We need direction. Sometimes we get it from our parents still. And actually, I will say this. If you're an adult and you're depending on your parents too much financially, emotionally, spiritually, then you need to grow beyond where you're at and trust in Jesus as the shepherd instead of trusting his mom or dad as the shepherd. We need a shepherd. We need one to guide. We need one to encourage. I am not focusing on this word, for you shall come a ruler. I'm focusing on shepherd because it seems that his shepherding will be how he rules. Jesus shepherded Israel as a group, as a people, but also as individuals. Israel is made up of individuals. Just like our society, every individual is important. So what title is given to Jesus? The title of shepherd. In John chapter 10, if you look in John chapter 10, Jesus states himself, I am the good shepherd. And in Psalm 23, one of the best psalms that we know, one of the most well-known psalms, here's what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder as you think through your days, maybe even in this past year or maybe many years ago, when did that psalm minister to you? There's been a time probably where Psalm 23 has been read or spoken to you, and it's just hit you, and you're like, yeah, he is my shepherd. I don't need a want. My cup overflows. So what does a shepherd do? I came up with three things that a shepherd does. You might want to write these down in your bulletin. You might know some of these, but here we go. Number one, a shepherd guides the sheep. A shepherd guides the sheep. Guides the sheep of where to go. Guides the sheep to keep from straying. We all need guidance, and the shepherd provides this for us. We long to do the right thing. Where do we go for the guidance, that information? We have to get it from somewhere. I trust, I hope that you get guidance from the maker of the universe. We need to be guided from straying. I would ask for a show of hands, but every hand should be raised if I would ask for it. How many of you have strayed? Again, I'd ask for a show of hands, but everybody in the room better raise your hand because it's a true statement. We're like sheep. Something over here. I'm just going to come over here for a little bit. And what does the shepherd do? He gets his staff out and he taps. And I don't think that our good shepherd does a lot of whacking. Well, some of you, maybe he needs to. Sometimes we need to get whacked a little bit, but it's not upside the head. It's probably more of a gentle tap, and you need to move this way because there's something that's coming, something that we can't see. A shepherd guides. Again, Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are guided to keep from straying. All of us on our own can stray. If you don't believe me, watch a kid. A child strays ever so wonderfully, if you want to say it that way. Okay, you're supposed to do this right here, and the kid may do that for a little bit, but then what happens? Oh, look what's over here. Oh, I need to play with this. Oh, a microphone. Dong, dong, dong. Kids just stray, and we are like kids. We stray. The Good Shepherd guides us. Aren't you thankful for God's guidance in your life? Maybe give God praise today of how he's guided you and keep looking for his guidance. Are you here today and you're lost? Look to Jesus for your guidance. The second thing I see that a shepherd does is provides for his sheep. A shepherd provides for his sheep. A little bit later in Matthew, Jesus says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what do we eat? What do we drink? What are we going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow or the day after tomorrow being Christmas. For tomorrow will has enough worries of its own. See, the shepherd provides for us. He provides water. He provides food. He provides rest. I wonder if you've had a tough year of 2018. Have you had a tough year? Some of you have had a tough year. Financially, spiritually, emotionally. Maybe there's been something that's happened in your family. It's just devastated your family. But hasn't God provided? You're sitting here today. You're not in jail. You're not on the streets. God has provided for you. Our chief shepherd doesn't always provide all of our wants, but he does provide all of our needs. I don't know if you've ever been to a shearing. Has anybody ever been to a sheep shearing? Okay, very nice. I've only seen sheep sheared when I've been like at a fair and you watch the people who are getting ready to show their sheep and they shear them. I'm not sure if the sheep really like that or not, but the shepherd does that for a reason, to help get rid of that wool, to help provide some coolness. I don't know about you. I don't know if you like to get your hair cut or not. Maybe that really bothers you. Maybe it doesn't. But you only have a head, and the sheep would have a whole body. But sometimes the chief shepherd needs to shear us to allow for other growth to happen. I thought also of a sheep and it getting a cockle burr or a sticker or some kind of thorn in its wool. And I thought of the shepherd coming alongside the sheep and trying to get that out of the sheep's wool and thinking, that sheep's not going to like that. That sheep's going to, But what is the shepherd trying to do? The shepherd's trying to help the sheep. And after that thing is pulled out, whatever it might be, that irritant, the sheep goes back to frolicking in the meadow. I thought of a dog. And if a dog, some of you could relate more to a dog than a sheep, a dog gets something in its paw, some kind of a thorn. Try to remove that from a dog's paw. The dog doesn't like that. The dog actually has a greater defensive mechanism than a sheep, because a sheep's not really going to bite you or do anything to you, but the dog is going to probably bite you and try to, don't do that. But once you get that out of that paw, that dog is able to run around. God provides for you a cleaning when you need it. And if there's a cockle burr underneath somewhere of your wool, God will work that out. And when he works that out, he puts a nice salve on it, and he says, here you go. Jesus is a good shepherd. Another thing that the shepherd provides is this, protection. A shepherd provides protection from the sheep. Jerry Quant, can you help me for a moment? Can you come stand over here for a moment, please? Dawson, can you help me for a moment? Can you come sit right here for a moment, please, Dawson? Can you just hold that on your head, please? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. One of the things about a shepherd is a shepherd has a slingshot, right? Okay, so here's your slingshot. Can you hold that on your head, please? And have you shot a slingshot recently?
Not recently.
Not recently. How good of a shot are you? I have a rock here. Do you trust him?
That would be bad.
A shepherd provides protection for the sheep. Here you go. Okay. No, I'm not going to give that to you. You can sit back down. And you can take that home. A shepherd provides protection. There are some things in your life that you need to be protected from. There are predators that want to get you down. And the shepherd has a slingshot. Now, when I think of a shepherd having a slingshot, I think of David and Goliath, and the slingshot probably wasn't quite like that. It probably actually was like a long towel that he swung around like this, and then the one side came off of it, and they were pretty sharp shooters is what they were. But the shepherd provides protection. There's a battle in the spiritual realm, and maybe you're aware of that. Maybe there's a battle going on right now for you. 1 Peter says this, your enemy, the devil, prowls around seeking whom he can devour. There are times when we're totally unaware. Sometimes we are not, but when the battle gets tougher, we can trust and know that God is protecting us. I am so thankful for his protection. Aren't you? Psalm 91, verse 11. Many of you know this verse, but if you don't know it and you need to know of God's protection, then hear it. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. His angels are protecting you. He protects you from a wrong business deal. He protects you from an awful purchase. He protects you from a terrible car crash. He protects you from a wrong spiritual decision. This is what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says. Now may the God of peace, who brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. We say this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. A little later on, we say this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus, as the good shepherd, protects you. This is something important for us to know as well, because what do sheep have for fighting? I thought of a lion. If somebody comes up to a lion and they want to defeat a lion, the lion just goes, roar! I understand that a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. That's impressive. You can't be heard 5 miles away, but a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. A sheep doesn't have that. Bah, I'm going to come get you. Bah. A snake, what does a snake do? If it's a boa, don't get close to a boa. He's going to squeeze the life out of you. Another snake's going to rise up and zap you. But what does a sheep have? Bah. The major defensive mechanism for a sheep is that they stay together. They use their natural herding instinct to band together for safety. A sheep that is by itself is vulnerable to attack. A sheep, I understand, is able to spot forms of danger from 1,200 to 1,500 yards away. They don't walk in a straight line. They walk in a winding trail because they are able to observe their backside with one eye, then the other. They're able to spot those things. Stay together with the sheep. And stay near the good shepherd because he protects you. Is Jesus still shepherding Israel today? Who will shepherd my people Israel? Yes, I believe so. Jesus hasn't stopped. I believe we can take this literally. I think he's still shepherding Israel, the nation, today. I believe that. And I think he's still shepherding Israel, the people group, the believers as well. Syria and Palestine are water hungry, and so shepherds have to search for adequate water supply. Jesus is still working on your behalf and providing for you. Jesus provides shepherds through under shepherds as well. One of the titles that has been given to a pastor is the title of a shepherd. And hear me in this. If you attend First Wesleyan Church on a regular basis, I'm concerned for you. Pastor Bradley's concerned for you. We're concerned for your souls. We're concerned for your physical bodies. We're concerned that you don't stray away from the flock. Because as a reminder, a sheep by itself is vulnerable to attack. We want you to be fed. We want you to be watered. We want you to be taken care of. When you are hurt, that concerns us. When there's a cockle burr underneath your wool, we like to help get it out. Not because we're mean, because we care and we're concerned. You may serve as a shepherd to someone else as well. I'm not the only shepherd in the world, by any means. And you care about someone. God may be bringing somebody to your mind right now that you are their shepherd. They have no other shepherd in their life whatsoever. And you're like, hey, have you looked at this article? Maybe to help you. Hey, have you heard this scripture verse? Hey, here's a podcast you might want to go to. You serve as a shepherd. Thank you for doing that. Because you're serving the good shepherd as a shepherd to someone else. Is it ironic that the news of Jesus came to some shepherds? Who was the first to receive the good news? The shepherds. Behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds left, and they came looking for Jesus. They were probably some younger type teens, or maybe they were some older watchmen. They came to see the good shepherd. Little did they know, they were visiting a little baby. They were coming to see the person who would say, I am the good shepherd. The enemy has tried to dissuade and frustrate us from the shepherd. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And that's what happened. They scattered, but they came back. Are you hearing the voice of the good shepherd today? Is Jesus your shepherd? There's a well-known story in Luke chapter 15. I want to read it to you. Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The lost sheep. Jesus found you. Isn't that wonderful? All the other sheep and all the other people in the fold were fine, but he came and he found each of us. He put you on his shoulders. And he said, rejoice with me. The lost has been found. John 10, verse 15 says, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and Jesus has laid down his life for us. And then in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of the good shepherd? I hope that you do. Lloyd Ogilvie, you might know that name. He was the chaplain of the Senate for quite some time, and he pastored Hollywood Presbyterian Church. And he was in the Middle East one time, and he watched a group of shepherds, and there was a large flock coming down a hillside. And as they got nearer, each man called to his sheep. And out of this huge flock of sheep, each sheep moved to follow the voice of their shepherd. The sheep were then led into the pen with a fire near the doorway, and the sheep went to sleep with the shepherd literally sleeping in front of the opening. How is it that out of all those sheep, they could hear their shepherd's voice? They knew it. Do you know your shepherd's voice? He came as a shepherd, and he's going to return as a shepherd. He came as a king, he's going to return as a king as well. But he's going to offer his voice. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, hear these words. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. As you leave today, and as you think about Christmas, and you think about Jesus coming, and the shepherds coming to him, hear these words, Jesus is the good shepherd. May you know him as shepherd. If you've wandered away from the flock, come back to the flock. Be with the flock, because the enemy seeks to destroy. And you may think, oh, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Come to the flock. If you're in the flock, let him guide you. Let him feed you. Let him protect you. Trust in the good shepherd. I want to pray for you today. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Lord Jesus, thank you for you being our shepherd. Thank you that you guide us. Thank you that you protect us. Thank you that you provide for us. We just give you praise right now. You have gotten us through this year. There's been some tragedies that have been represented within this room, no doubt. There's been some challenges. There's been some phone calls and waking moments that we just weren't anticipating, expecting, or even really wanted. And yet you have provided for us. Thank you for being our good shepherd. And I pray that if there's somebody here this morning who has wandered away from the flock, or they didn't even know they had a good shepherd, I pray right now that they would know that you are the good shepherd for them. And Lord Jesus, I pray for someone here this morning that is one of your sheep, but it's just, there's been a cocklebur, or they've strayed a little bit. I pray that you would just remind them that you are the good shepherd and that you would speak to them right now and that you would remind them that when the chief shepherd appears, they are going to receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Thank you that you are our shepherd. Thank you that we don't have to want anything. And God, may you grant us a wonderful Sunday as we worship you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. We pray all this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.